say that today is National Get Out of the Doghouse Day, well, maybe we can help Donald Trump get out of that doghouse. All right, welcome to the show, folks. You are listening to the American Adversaries Prime Time Show on AM 660 The Answer. I am Christopher Hart, and I am coming to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. And please do not forget, for the very best in general dentistry, health-centered dentistry, and Mercury Free dentistry, call my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, at 407-678-3399. And don't forget to ask him about his great book, Mercury Free. We got a big show lined up for you tonight, but we always got time for you. 407-774-8255 is the number. I am alone in the studio, but fear not, Nick LoCicero is on the bridge, so we are in good hands as we come to you through the ether and over the wires and wireless world, as it were. We do have a lot to talk about today. Yes, the Greeks, who were once limited to 60 euros a day, can now get 420 euros per week. Now, wait a minute. Is it 7 times 64? Okay, never mind. Also, the U.S. flag is flying over an embassy now in Havana, and the Cuban flag is flying over an embassy in Washington, D.C., where smoke was seen wafting out the windows from them Cuban cigars, I would imagine. And, of course, there's more on the Iran deal. The L.A. Times says that the Social Security Administration is proposing to demand that people who do not receive their Social Security checks themselves, but others receive them for them, demand that they give up their weapons and their ammunition, which brings to mind the question, how is the Social Security Administration going to know who's got weapons and how much ammunition they got? They're going to conduct home inspections? I don't know, but let's get right down to brass tacks. Abe Katzman will be joining us a little bit later on in the show for his regular Monday guest slot with us. Actually, he's not a guest slot. He's a regular slot. Trevor Loudon is going to join us. He'll be speaking tomorrow night at the Eastmont Civic Center. This is a lecture you do not want to miss. He's written several great books, including The Enemy Within, and Trevor will be speaking tomorrow. The event starts at 7, doors open at 6:30, Eastmont Civic Center, just off Ronald Reagan Boulevard, just south of 436. And then a little bit later on, we're also going to have B. Brian Blair join us, and we're going to talk some GOP politics, state politics, and federal politics with him. But first, let me get to this John McCain flap and see if we can't get the Don out of the dog house. And we talked about this a little bit on the show last night. If you didn't catch last night's show, of course, you can go to our archive after tonight's show, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com, where you can also join the American Adversaries Army, and we need you to join. And, of course, it will be put up after tonight's show. But as I said, we talked about this some last night. And if you look back at what Trump said, I'm sorry, but to tell you, if John McCain were not a POW and had not been tortured, he would not be a war hero. I'm sorry. If you and by the way, have you ever heard anybody but us last night talk about John McCain's war record up until he did get captured and become a POW? Have you ever heard anybody talk about that? No, I oftentimes hear people say he had an impeccable or distinguished military career, but I'm sorry to say it was anything but. It was anything but. Let me just kind of go through this a little bit, and I do not take pleasure in this, but listen. We consider ourselves to be the American Adversaries because we're here to get the truth out. We're the American Adversaries Task Force. That would be me, Nostradamus, Lair when he's about, and Mike McBath, Danny McKnight, Ken Vihek, and all the others, Abe Katzman. It's our purpose to get the truth out, and then the world can deal with it however it will. I can't force you to do anything with the truth, but as long as I'm here doing this radio show, it wouldn't be worth doing if I don't speak the truth. And the sad truth, the sad fact of the matter is, John McCain would not have been a carrier pilot had his father not been a distinguished admiral in the United States Navy who distinguished himself in World War II and Korea too, I believe. And he did graduate in the bottom of his class at Annapolis. There's no question about that. Even McCain has joked about graduating, I think, second from last in his class. He wasn't quite last, but he was right down there at the bottom. And he was known as a hot shot and a hot head. And the rest of the pilots didn't particularly like flying with him because he had a propensity to either get shot down or crash. When he was captured and became a POW, that wasn't the first plane he lost. And then there's the worst part. As I said, he was a hot shot and a hot head. And one day as they were lining up the aircraft on the deck of the USS Forrestal, which was the aircraft carrier he was assigned to, the planes were lined up, essentially, if you know anything about aircraft carrier operations, and no, I never served on an aircraft carrier, but I have seen, I watched enough TV to see that when they're launching the aircraft, they have them basically on the deck, nose to tail, wingtip to wingtip, as they're lining them up to put them up there on the catapult. And when they were lined up, nose to tail, wingtip to wingtip, they're loaded up and ready to go, loaded, gassed, and all ready to go. Well, on this one particular day, John McCain decides he's going to do a little practical joke. A practical joke with a multi-million dollar aircraft on a billion dollar aircraft carrier with all a bunch of these other million dollar aircrafts loaded to the teeth. He's going to do a practical joke. And the practical joke is something called, I believe it's called a wet start. In other words, when he started the engine, he allowed enough fuel to drip into the chamber such that when he hit the ignition switch, a big old burst of flame came shooting out of the tail of the aircraft, right into the face of the guy behind him. Now, the guy behind him either panicked and launched his missile, or just the burst of the flame somehow caused an electrical malfunction and a missile launched, but it launched from the plane directly behind John McCain after his little blast, his little practical joke. That missile then hit the extra fuel tank that was hanging off the bottom of John McCain's plane. That burst into flames. John McCain panics. He drops his two bombs. They roll across the deck and are either ignited by the flames or just touched off. They explode and cause a chain reaction, which resulted in 131 sailors and pilots being killed. Being killed that day. Because he was going to do a little practical joke. This is the war hero we are being told about. And oh, by the way, there was another some 150 some odd who were 134 killed, 164 injured, some with severe burns. Well, guess who got transported off the ship first that day? That's right. But it wasn't because his father was an admiral, and it wasn't because he was severely burned. He basically had some minor burns. It was because the crew was ready to throw him off the side of the ship for what he did. I'm sorry. I don't like saying this, but nobody else is. Trump probably knows this. He didn't say it. But were it not for the fact that he got another aircraft on another aircraft carrier, thanks to Papa, he would never have become a POW. Any other pilot that had done something as stupid as that would have been either got a desk job or run completely out of the Navy. The Navy probably wouldn't want to make a big deal out of it, but you can see why. 131 men killed that day because he wanted to be a jackass. A hothead and a hot shot. Oh, he's hot stuff, isn't he? Yeah, I'm sorry. Trump was right. Are we just going to stick our head somewhere where we can't see things? We can't see the truth because we don't like Don Trump? He's messing things up for us? He's getting all the attention. He's sucking the oxygen from the room. Why? We can't have that. Why? We got to get Jeb Bush elected. That boring S.O. God, I was listening to Mike Medved on the way here. I about fell asleep driving down the road listening to Jeb Bush. You know, one thing about Trump that he understands that the rest of these Republicans don't understand, and I heard a couple of fellows who are sitting in for a guy who's recovering from some throat something of his own right now, not Michael Medved, but they were talking about how, you know, the Democrats always, you know, they're working on the emotional level, and we never do that, and we're always working on the intellectual level, and we really got to bring them up. Well, let me tell you something. That's why Republicans lose. Politics, well, it's like professional wrestling because it's on the gut level, especially national politics. People are working on a gut level, not brain level. I'm sorry. That's the reality. That's why a brilliant man like Mitt Romney can lose to an idiot like Barack Obama, because he was working on an intellectual level. Barack Obama's working on the gut level, and look who won. Republicans have got to learn from Don Trump. Yeah, maybe you can try to take him out because you want to get the nomination yourself, Rubio, or one of you other guys. But you better damn well learn about what he's doing, because it is what is going to get you elected and will win elections for conservatives time and time again. We have the real gut level argument. We have the argument, the conservative argument is the argument that people intrinsically, instinctively know is correct. And yet we give it away. We give it away. Now we're going to talk policy wonk stuff. We're going to talk policy wonk. That's not what people want to hear. They want to be inspired. They want to get fired up. And he's firing people up. If you don't like the way he's firing them up, get out there and fire them up yourself in your own way. Or get out of the way. All right, let's go ahead and take a phone call here, and then we'll go to Abe Katzman. Axel, thank you for calling. I appreciate you being out there.
All right, no problem. I just had some questions for you. Question number one, is that what caused the USS Forrestal to burn down?
I don't believe so, but it did cause extensive damage.
Okay, and then question number two, I agree with you on the McCain issue. Question number two is, how many people out there are aware of the Keating scandal?
Yeah, that's another one. Yeah, the Keating scandal, that where he got caught up in that. Thank you for reminding me. That's
no
an excellent
problem.
Point.
No problem. I feel like, you know, so, people like this, like when they get, like the Keating example, for example, he got, you know, there was nothing said about it. And even during the elections in 08, you know, I was one of the ones that read about it and spoke about it, and no one seems to know about that. And
yeah,
stuff like that gets swept under the rug, you know?
He's talking about the Keating Five, where McCain caught up in a scandal, finance scandal, wasn't it?
But hey, I got to go. I'm late for work. I just wanted to call and ask those two questions. Thank you.
Well, God bless you for sticking around long enough to do that. Don't be late, though. Keep your job, man. Thanks, Axel. I appreciate you being out there. But he's right. McCain was caught up in the Keating Five. You know, I don't like doing this. I mean, you know, I just assume the guy can live his little legend out. But listen, folks, that we're playing for keeps, okay? This country is in seriously bad shape. And if you don't believe me, just look around. And then we got this doggone Iran deal. All right, we need somebody who's going to kick butt and take names. Now, do I think Donald Trump's going to be the president of the United States? No. It would be the longest shot ever. Maybe I'll bet a couple of dollars on it because I'd win a huge amount. But he can show the other guys the path, what we need. Someone to charge forward and say, America, we're going to make it great again. Don't ask me all the nuts and bolts, but I know I'm going to find the people to do it, and I know I'm going to demand that it be done, and I'm going to make it happen. That's what the people want to hear, because they would know from the gut that that's the kind of person that could get this country back on the right track. And we do not have time to dilly-dally around with some panty waste like Jeb Bush and some of these other guys. I'm sorry. We need serious action. We need it now. That's why Trump is popular. That's why Bernie Sanders is popular. This is burning inside people. We instinctively know this. And these buffoons think that we want to be spoon-fed the same old, same old. Oh, no, we don't. And I don't want to take a break, but I got to. When we come back, we'll have Abe Katzman.
I'm separated.
All right, that's fine, folks. That's what we try to do here. We try to separate fact from fiction, no matter how painful that may sometimes be for all of us. All right, but one of the men who is best at separating facts from fiction, especially when it comes to Israeli-U.S. relations and what's going on in the Middle East, is our man Abe Katzman coming to us tonight once again from Seattle. Abe, you're home in Seattle?
Home in Seattle.
All right.
Another few days.
How's the weather up there this evening?
Beautiful. It hasn't rained in weeks, from what I understand.
Yeah, I heard Michael Medved talking about that on his show the other day, kind of saying it, and people think that's bad.
Well, the lawns are all brown.
Oh, is
nobody
that...
here is used to that.
Oh, I see, I see. All right, well, let's get right down to the nitty-gritty, Abe. The deal, you've had a chance to look at it. Worse, looking worse and worse the more you look at it, or does it have any redeeming qualities?
I haven't seen any redeeming qualities yet. I have heard defenders of it incapable of coming up with anything worthwhile in the deal. Nobody seems to be able to explain what sorts of actual concessions Iran made. And on top of everything else, now this end run around Congress going to the UN to get the, you know, to get this deal ratified by the Security Council and make Congress largely irrelevant in the process. You know, the people in Israel are not amused, I can tell you that.
Yeah, I agree, and certainly going to the UN before the Congress even begins to hold hearings, you know, does you know, smack of Obama, you know, just totally disdaining them. But they kind of made it worse for themselves also, too, didn't they, with this Corker bill? I mean, until they had this Corker bill, if they didn't like the deal, couldn't they have just done nothing and let the sanctions remain in place? Yeah, if the Europeans wanted to do something, fine, but we're not going to go along with it. Now they've complicated it, though, for themselves, haven't they, Abe?
Yeah, I think so. And I think there's a whole question about whether this bill, whether this agreement would qualify as a treaty. I mean,
yep.
It looks like a treaty.
Yeah.
But just because the Obama administration doesn't want to call it a treaty doesn't mean that it's not a treaty. And with a treaty, it would have required the affirmative ratification by the Senate.
Two-thirds,
right.
Yeah.
And here they've kind of flipped it around and they're going to require two-thirds to reject it. And even then, nobody knows what the effect will be. I mean, maybe it'll keep the U.S. sanctions alive if they would do that, but I don't think anybody's really sure.
Well, let's suppose for a moment that it would have some effect and it's worth trying to get this deal rejected. What do you think are the chances of the Republicans coming up with that two-thirds in the Senate? And where do you think Chuck Schumer's going to come down on this? He seems to be a key player as far as the Democrats go.
Yeah, I think that I think that ultimately Obama is going to get his way. Schumer is probably looking for a way to vote against the deal, but I don't know what if other people are going to follow him. I think he would like to see it passed, but to be on the record opposing it.
Yeah. Am I mistaken, or did the prime minister also say in arguing against this deal is that the worst part of the deal is that the Iranians, you know, if they abide by the deal, they get everything that they want. There's no reason for them to cheat unless they just want to hurry things up.
That's right. I mean, they'll end up with their weapon whether they cheat or not. It's just a question of timing. And you know, once the sanctions have been taken down, even if they do cheat, who's going to do anything about it?
Right. Just like North Korea. Evidently, we knew they were cheating, but was never severe enough to actually take action. Abe, the administration is trying to you know, mollify the Israelis, you know, prime minister and the Saudi Arabians. And they have sent Ashton Carter over there with the promise of a bunch of new weapons. Is that what the way they're going to try to essentially buy some acceptance for this by pumping more armament into the Middle East?
That's what they're trying to do. They're categorizing it as compensation to Israel for the deal. And as Prime Minister Netanyahu pointed out, if it's such a good deal for Israel, why do they need compensation? So there's a certain admission in this that this is a bad deal for Israel.
And I think everybody realizes that when the administration tossed in, you know, lifting the arms embargoes, the conventional weapons and the ballistic missiles, that the Iranians are going to be a huge problem for us. This and 5 years is going to go by fast. I mean, that is no amount of time at all. And does this also not mean that the Russians will be perhaps sending weapons into Iran in the meantime?
Yeah, there's no reason they shouldn't. They've been kind of back and forth on supplying certain weapons to Iran. There's been a certain amount of international pressure against them supplying Iran with what they call the S-300 anti-aircraft system.
Right.
There's nothing to hold them back now. If the sanctions are dropped, then why shouldn't they sell them anything they want?
All right. Abe, if you'll stay with me, we have to take the hard break, but when we come back, I got a couple more questions about the deal, the big bad deal, and a few other things. Once again, we have Abe Katzman. You can find his work at abekatzman.com. We'll be right back.
AM 660
And don't mess with Jiggle Wave Katzman. That's right. He'll set you straight every time. Welcome back to the show, folks. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show, coming to you live on AM 660 The Answer. If you have any questions for Abe, now's your chance to call and ask him at 407-774-8255. Abe, before the break, you said, and I believe you're right, this is a done deal. Congress is not going to be able to sustain or override his veto. What next? What next for Israel?
I think Israel just has to be prepared for the idea that that Iran is on the way to becoming nuclear, and if that means that they cannot tolerate that, I think that might mean a military attack down the road. I don't know. Nobody really knows what Israel's military capabilities are when it comes to taking out Iran's nuclear program. Nobody knows if Israel would be able to do it without U.S. assistance. Maybe it's the kind of thing that would have to wait until the next administration in Washington. Maybe Israel feels that they would have time and would get a greener light than they'd be getting from the Obama administration from the next president. It's very hard to predict. Who knows? Israel has a record for having other things up their sleeve that nobody ever thought of.
Yeah.
So you never, you know, a lot of things can happen, and I hope something happens that comes totally out of left field that nobody expects.
I have been thinking the same thoughts. Okay, if we're going to have free trade, well, let's take advantage of free trade, if you know what I mean. And that, you know, so obviously the prime minister is, I'm sure he's not been like Republicans in Congress sitting around waiting until something happens to figure out a plan. I'm sure he's been working on a contingency plan should this have come about. Certainly, it means a great deal to the new relationship, budding relationship between Saudi Arabia and Israel, doesn't it?
Yeah, the reports continue to come in that the Saudis and Israelis seem to be cooperating when it comes to defense matters. I think that some of the reports might be overselling the relationship a little bit. I mean, there is a certain amount of defense coordination, but Israel and the Saudis are still very far apart in terms of the relationship between the nations.
Right.
And I don't think that there's going to be any sort of major breakthrough there. Look, you know, if the U.S. could align with Stalin in World War II, then Israel can align with the Saudis against Iran.
Yep. You take them as they come, so to speak, if you will. The situation, the violence in Sinai, it seems to be escalating. Are the news reports just slow to catch up, or is it actually escalating?
No, it's certainly, I'd say it's beyond simmering at this point. There, in the last couple of days, Egypt reported that it killed 59 militants, and most of those are ISIS-aligned people. On the other hand, Egypt also said that they were hit by an anti-ship missile, that one of their ships was hit.
Right.
These are, you know, the militants are fighting back. The ISIS people are fighting back. And I think we've got it's getting hotter and hotter there.
As the violence escalates there, is Israel doing more to protect its southern border there, its southwestern border with the Sinai?
Yeah, they've done a couple of things. They've, just to protect people, I believe I read that they closed a roadway that runs more or less along the Israel's border with the Sinai. So they don't want the fight kind of spilling over, and that's a very thinly inhabited area. It's really one desert up against another desert.
Right.
They don't want any sort of civilian casualties in the area to result from these battles spilling over. And at the same time, there are ISIS people that would like to take advantage of the opportunity while they're there and while they're armed to take shots at Israel. There are people who believe that it is ISIS that's behind some of the rocket attacks that have come out of Gaza. Hamas is claiming that they didn't do them; that it's other militant groups that have been firing the rockets. And apparently, in the last week, there have been a bunch of cars of Hamas officials blown up in Gaza, believed to be the work of ISIS people. So these different Islamist groups are fighting each other, and the fights seem to be heating up.
Mm. That at one time has to be, you know, you kind of have to say, well, not okay. But on the other hand, that's got to be very chilling.
Yeah, it is. I mean, there is a temptation to sit back and watch Israel's enemies beat each other up. There can be an effect on Israel from some of this. The violence has a tendency to spill over a little bit.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit GOP politics, Abe. We haven't done that for a while. Of course, the big news is Trump. I want to get you to weigh in on him. What do Israelis think about him? But also, what do Israelis think about Jeb Bush? Because, you know, he seems to me he's weak. I mean, he just doesn't seem to have the fire in the belly. And he said that he was talking on Michael Medved's show this afternoon and said that, you know, he wouldn't immediately do something about this deal. He would sit back and look at it and do a review and ask the military and this. Why don't you do that before you get inaugurated, so you know what you're going to do day one? What do you see from Israel's side of this in terms of the Republican candidates?
Israel is, on the whole, very impressed with the friendliness toward Israel of most of the Republican field. I mean, with one or two exceptions that, and they may not even be bad, they're just kind of question marks at this point.
Right.
Some of the others, I mean, the between Rubio and Huckabee and I could go down the list, there are people who are extremely solid in their support for Israel. I think Bush is in that same camp. He might not be as strong or as articulate about it, but I think that if he were elected president from an Israel standpoint, I don't think that the Israelis would be too upset. And they would all be, without exception, vast improvements on what we currently have.
Would that hold true for Rand Paul too? He hasn't been in the news much lately, but he's still out there.
That's the one I was thinking of, that where I was saying almost without exception. I think he may be the exception. I don't think that he is. I don't think that Israel sees him as being anti-Israel. They recognize that he has an isolationist streak, and they recognize that he is against foreign aid. He makes a certain case that, you know, why are we giving foreign aid? Why are we giving military aid to countries that could be at war with Israel, and then we need to go ahead and arm Israel even further?
You mean kind of like this Iran deal, right?
Yeah. He's a more blank slate, I think, than most of the others. It's never been the Israel issues have never been his, the areas that he's really focused on. So we'll wait and see. But I think he's faded quite a bit in the polls, and I don't know that he's going to end up being much of a factor in the end.
Yeah. Speaking of the polls, Trump's been, riding the polls. Of course, he stepped into it. At least that's what the media wants us to think over the weekend. What are Israelis' impressions of him? And we don't have to get into any particulars unless you want to, but just in general.
In general, he is a great friend of Israel. Whatever else you want to say about him, he's been extremely favorably disposed toward Israel. He was even every year in New York City. There's a big parade, a Salute to Israel parade, and he was the Grand Marshal a year or two ago. So that's not something, that's not an honor that gets bestowed on just anybody. He's been very supportive of Israel's defending itself, and I think that from that standpoint they like him. I think that there's a good deal of amusement. Nobody knows why he, you know, they kind of wonder what he's done to be entitled to become president. But from a standpoint just of how supportive he would be of Israel, they're confident.
All right. One last question for you. You know, Barack Obama, when I think it was in 2007, even before he was elected, he said that were he elected, he would want to engage our adversaries and try to turn the relationships around. Well, we've seen that he's doing that with Iran. The Cubans and Americans have reopened their embassies today. He tried with Russia. What's the next shoe to drop? Where is he going to go next, Abe? North Korea? Pakistan? I mean, who is he going to turn to next to fulfill his dream of coddling up to our adversaries, cozying up to?
I don't know. I would hope that he's done doing that kind of work, but I fear that he's not.
Yeah.
I don't know what he, you know, North Korea, I think he can leave more or less where it is. And I think that he would find it also very unpopular in the U.S. trying to cozy up to North Korea. Pakistan, maybe. He could make the case for why it would help to bring Pakistan closer to the U.S. As long as he's got some kind of political cover for it, he may try something like that.
Well, like you, I believe like you, he's not done, not by a long shot. So we just have to keep fighting the good fight. Abe, God bless you. We'll pray for you and we'll pray for Israel. Our listeners tell me all the time they're praying hard for Israel out there. So, you know, we're with you.
Very much appreciated.
All right. God bless you, and we'll talk to you next Monday, okay?
Okay. Excellent. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. All right. That is Abe Katzman. He is a great columnist. You'll find his work all over the media, but if you want to go see it at your leisure, go to Abe Katzman, abekatzman.com. Okay. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Trevor Loudon, who you will be able to meet tomorrow night. Okay, welcome back to the show, folks. You are listening to the American Adversaries on AM 660, The Answer. As I told you earlier, tomorrow night you'll have an opportunity to hear and speak to a fascinating man, a great author, written a number of books, and he's a security and an expert, and he also has written the book, The Enemy Within. He's done a lot of research. He's from the Kiwi country, New Zealand. Welcome back to the show, Trevor Loudon. We appreciate you being with us.
I look great to be on. Thanks very much.
Now, you'll be speaking tomorrow night at the Eastmont Civic Center. What's going to be the focus of your talk tomorrow night?
Well, there's a number of hot issues right now. I will be talking about the Iran nuclear deal. I'll be talking about Bernie Sanders and his communist background. I'll be talking about immigration amnesty and the how it's being used to create a one-party state in the United States. I'll be talking about the Marxist infiltration of Congress and the Senate, and naming a lot of names. And I'll be hopefully giving a few positive ideas, too, on how some of this can be dealt with.
Now, you had predicted that, I believe earlier on, that Barack Obama would be a president of the United States, a very transformative president of the United States, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know if you use that word, but you predicted that he was going to make major moves for the country to the left. But
Go ahead. Well, look, like I was the one who first exposed Obama's ties to Frank Marshall Davis, the Hawaiian communist, for instance. And that was back in March 2007.
Right.
And we researched him extensively. We did a press conference in Washington, D.C. in March 2008. And we warned the country then that this guy was a Marxist, he was anti-American, and he would be huge trouble. And unfortunately, I wish I'd been wrong, but unfortunately we were right.
Yeah, indeed you were. So tell us, how does this Iran deal fit into the overall scheme of things in his Marxist plans?
Yeah, well, my contention is if you want to know what Obama's going to do tomorrow, you read the Communist Party's newspaper today. Now, they've been talking about an American-Iranian alliance for some time. They've been promoting it. And now this is the step towards that. This is not just going to be a nuclear deal with Iran. This is going to be an American-Iranian alliance. And it's going to leave Israel completely out in the cold. Israel is basically going to be brought down over this. This is the plan, or they're going to try to do that. And it's going to be basically Iran is going to be given that area of the Middle East to patrol. They're going to be working with the Russians and America. So it's going to be a three-way alliance. And that's what is being planned. That's what he's doing. And just a little theory of mine, a pet theory to add to that, Obama knew that ISIS was on the horizon for some time, but he did nothing.
Why?
Now ISIS is committing all sorts of atrocities. I think the alliance with Iran is going to be sold on the basis that America will work with Iran to suppress ISIS. And Americans will accept that because Iran will seem moderate compared to the ISIS crazies. So I think that fits in there to some degree.
So you think he allowed ISIS to rise up because it would benefit his move toward Iran?
And yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
That might seem very far-fetched to a lot of people, but I think it fits in. There's good evidence, too, that there's a great paper released by the Center for East European Studies in Lithuania not long ago that pointed out the Russian military intelligence origins of ISIS. So ISIS suits Putin as well because it takes a lot of focus of what he's doing in the Ukraine. So it suited both parties for ISIS to get to do what it's done.
And certainly Iran played a big hand in destabilizing Iraq, which led to the rise of ISIS.
Well, exactly. So they're all playing it together. We've got to accept, you know, people say that, you know, Obama's just stupid, he's naive, he's out of his depth. Well, if he was just stupid, would he not make some mistakes in America's favor once in a while? You know, but, you know, if you read the text of the deal that's been signed with Iran, America has got nothing. Iran has got everything it wants. America's got nothing. And it's a guarantee of massively increased instability in the region. Israel is now totally isolated. You know, they will almost certainly have to strike Iran militarily to save themselves. Yeah. And I wonder which side America will be on when that happens. You wait and see.
Well, do you think that Obama's successor is going to be one of the Republicans in the field right now, or do you think it's going to be Hillary Clinton or some other Democrat? And should it be a Republican, what can they do about this, if anything?
Well, you've got to qualify that when you say Republican, you know, because there are Republicans and Republicans.
Right.
There's a lot of Republicans that don't really deserve that name. They're really Democrats in drag, so to speak.
Yeah.
So look, I think if the Republicans nominate a real conservative, and I'll say straight that Ted Cruz is my favorite.
Okay, I was going to ask you. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, but, you know, Scott Walker's good. There's a few other good ones in the field. And Donald Trump's saying a lot of things that need to be said. But if they get someone like Ted Cruz in, he will stand up. He will rebuild the U.S. military. He will stand up to the enemies of this country. And you can have the potential of a second Reagan revolution. But if you're someone like Jeb, Common Core is wonderful, illegal immigration is an act of love, Bush, you can pretty much guarantee that what's going on now will continue and maybe even worse.
Yeah, that's
so,
why.
So you can't just say Republicans. It's got to be a constitutional, conservative, patriotic Republican. Nothing else will suffice.
Yeah, I've said a number of times on the show here that Barack Obama wants Jeb Bush to be the next president, not Hillary Clinton.
Well, so he'd be happy with either because the same policies will continue.
Right.
You know, Jeb Bush wants to be the conservative president. He supports illegal amnesty, which is destroying the country. He supports Common Core, which the whole conservative base despises, and he thinks he's going to get their support. He's just delusional. And any Republican who supports him is delusional because the Tea Party will bolt. There are half the Republican base will stay home. You know, last election, 4 million GOPers didn't vote. If Jeb Bush is the nominee, it'll be 8 million who don't vote.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, and you're guaranteed, you know, Jeb Bush is just about a guaranteed loser. You know, Ted Cruz has got a very good chance. Scott Walker would have a good chance, and maybe one or two of the others. But you need, you know, this is the time for another Reagan. This is not the time for another Gerald Ford.
Yeah, very well put. Yeah, absolutely. I was saying that earlier in the show. We're up against it. We can't dilly-dally around. We can't have, you know, same old, same old. We need something radical and something this soon.
This is the survival of the Republic at stake. And this is not just America at stake. Every Western country is in danger if things don't turn around quickly. The bad guys are on the march. You know, Putin's on the march. Iran's on the march. The Chinese are on the march. They're building their military big time. And they're all doing it because they see America as weak. And if America doesn't get strong real quick, the whole world is in for major grief.
All right, Trevor, if you'll stay with us over the break, I know you have an event later on, but if you'll stay with me one more segment, we'll come back with Trevor Loudon. You can meet him tomorrow night. He'll be speaking at the Eastmont Civic Center. The doors open at 6:30. The event begins at 7, so you'll want to be there. It's free. The event is free. Now, Trevor will have a bunch of his books there, I'm sure. You'll definitely want to pick up a couple of copies of his books. These are excellent books, very well researched, and you'll come away with a whole lot of knowledge that you don't have otherwise. That's tomorrow night, Eastmont Civic Center. 6:30 is when the doors open. I'll see you there, and I'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, sit and pray up. Let's go see the elephant. We're on a roll on a honey.
All right, if you're out there running down the roads right now, folks, you're going to run into some wet stuff. So please allow yourself a little extra time to get wherever it is you're going to go and take us with you. We'll keep you entertained and informed. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show, coming to you live on AM 660 The Answer from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. And please don't forget, for the best in mercury free dental care, call my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, at 407-678-3399. I am Christopher Hardy. Nicholas Cicero is on the bridge. Welcome back to the show, or welcome to the show if you're just now tuning in. During the first part of the show, we talked about the Trump-McCain flap, and I'm sorry to say, but Trump is right. If it were not for the fact that John McCain was captured and was a POW and suffered 5 or 6 years of torture, he would not have been known as a war hero. He had a very undistinguished military career. He was responsible for the death of 131 sailors and pilots on the aircraft carrier Forrestal, along with another 161 being severely injured. That's the story that the rest of the media is not going to tell you. That's why you tune in to us, because we give it to you, and then we let you do with it as you will. But, you know, sometimes the truth ain't pretty, but it always has to be said. That's why we have guys like Trevor Loudon on our show, because he tells the truth, and he tells it like it is. And that's what we need to hear, because that's what we have to deal with, whether we like it or not. Trevor Loudon will be speaking tomorrow night at the Eastmont Civic Center. And it is a free event. The doors open at 6:30. The event begins at 7. And Trevor will be there speaking, and he'll have his books there on sale so you can pick up a few copies. It's great work, very scholarly work, I might add. Trevor, once again, thanks for being with us on the show. I appreciate you so much.
Great to be on, Chris.
The
Let's go away from the deal for a minute. Let's talk a little bit of domestic politics. You said earlier that Trump has been saying some things that need to be said, and then you referenced immigration in regard to Jeb Bush. What's Trump saying that Jeb Bush needs to be saying?
Well, Jeb Bush needs to understand that amnesty isn't a joke to the American people. They understand that this is a huge endangerment of America's national security. It's a huge... It's basically destroying the respect for rule of law in your land, and it's going to be a huge burden to hospitals and schools all over the country. But the thing that nobody talks about that worries me the most, you think about this. We know that most Latinos, who are amnestied and when they become citizens, vote overwhelmingly Democrat. Now, we know that they're often very good Christian conservative people, but they vote overwhelmingly Democrat. I have a top Marxist on tape, a Marxist with access to the president, boasting how giving amnesty is going to give the Democrats at least 8 million more votes, which is going to basically give them a one-party state. That is what this is all about. This is why Obama was willing to give up the Senate, which he did, to get amnesty, because he is a Leninist. You know, one step backwards, two steps forwards. He gave up the Senate, he got amnesty, because he knows those 8 million extra votes are going to give him a permanent governing majority. You know, John McCain, Mitt Romney lost by 2.5 million votes, 8 million more Democratic Party votes just for a start. And that is what nobody's talking about, and that's what Jeb Bush is wants to lead the country into. You imagine if the Latinos voted 80% Republican. You imagine how long would it be before Obama had the biggest fence on the border you have ever seen?
All right, I have a caller who has a question for you. Mike, thank you for calling. I appreciate you holding so long.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Hi, Mike.
How are you doing, Trevor? Hey, how are you doing? You know, years ago, I was telling my wife that Obama was going to do to us what Reagan did to the Soviets, which was to get us to spend our way into oblivion. And although I know he's using Alinsky and Cloud Piven tactics, he's doing exactly what Reagan did. And, you know, he compares himself with Reagan all the time, and I think it's very subtle because nobody ever looks at it kind of that way. And
yeah, that's a very good point, to be honest.
You know,
his little joke, isn't it?
Yeah, well, the irony, I don't think he's a fool, but I think he is unprincipled. Like when he said he made this thing with Iran with principle and strength. He can't make the home plate with a baseball, so he has no strength. And his principles do not exist. So.
Well, look, and if you read the text of the agreement, America has got nothing. Iran has got everything it wanted, and America has got nothing out of this. So how is this dealing from a position of strength?
Well, and also, I knew some back in the 70s. I worked with some Persian guys. I didn't know where Iran was. We still called it Iran back then. And these guys loved our women. They went to petrochemical engineering school in Tulsa, Oklahoma. They loved our technology. They loved all these things and had utter contempt for us. And when the hostages were taken, they left. But I learned how to count to 10 in Persian. But that's all I learned from these people. They were scum, you know. And I know there's a lot of nice Persian people. I've met them too. But the Asian cultures think in 30, 40, 50-year increments. They don't think about next week.
They don't think in election cycles, do they? They think in long-term strategy. I met an Iranian guy just the other night. He was part of the genuine green revolution in Iran a couple of years ago. You know, there was a genuine rebellion against the mullahs, the green revolution.
2009.
Obama was asked to help. But no, this was just an internal matter.
Right.
So he let that revolution die. Thousands were tortured. executed, imprisoned because of it, because Obama did nothing. But why did he not regard Libya as an internal matter or Egypt as an internal matter?
Yeah.
Because they were Sunni and Obama's a Shia.
Thanks, Mike.
He's working for the other side, effectively.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Excellent phone call. Excellent points that you make there, and I appreciate you holding. And there is the Sunni-Shia divide, and certainly he has taken sides with the Shia, that being the Iranians. And by the way, if you don't know what Mike was talking about, Persia, Iran was known as Persia until World War II, right, Trevor?
Yeah, it was. It was, well, even after World War II, slightly, but yeah. Iran was founded, and the original, the Shah, Pahlavi, I think his name was, he tried to modernize the country. He was a very staunch American ally, but in the 1970s, the Communist Party, the Tudeh Party of Iran, worked with the Muslim, the radical mullahs to take down that country. And when they won it, then they persecuted the communists.
Yeah.
And that you saw the same thing playing out in Egypt. That wasn't just a Muslim rebellion. That was the Communist Party of Egypt, the Communist Party of Tunisia. All of these communist groups were working in that revolution as well. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. There is a communist Islamic alliance in the world. And they both have a common enemy, well, two common enemies, basically the United States and Israel. And they work together all the time.
Now, in your book, you know, The Enemies Within, you document how many Democrats are members of various communist organizations of one sort or another. Obviously, the Democratic Party has been compromised. Is the Republican Party in any jeopardy of being compromised?
Do bears do doo-doo in the woods?
Okay.
Look, the Democratic Party, you know, used to be in some ways more conservative than the Republicans. You know, the Harry Trumans and the JFKs, and they were good patriotic people. But the Democratic Party was, the unions in America were taken over by the Marxists in 1995. They then took over the Democratic Party. They purged all the Democrats that didn't like Joe Lieberman from Connecticut, etc. So the Democrat Party is now effectively a Marxist party, unfortunately, for all those good, loyal Democrats out there who still think they're voting for Harry Truman. But the Republican Party has its own problem. You've got a substantial progressive wing within the Republican Party, the Susan Collinses and the Olympia Snows and the Dick Lugar types, who are basically Marxists. But then you've got about a third of that's sort of a quarter of the Republican Party. Then you've got a third of them are go-alongs to get-alongs and big government guys. Then you've got about a third of the Republican Party who are constitutionalists and patriots and believe in the country. And so we have to make sure that third, the Jim Bridensteins and the Ted Cruzes and the Trey Gowdies and Louis Gohmerts and people of that nature, we have to make sure they become the dominant faction in the GOP. We have to support that side of the GOP.
Let me ask you a question about the Democrat side in this presidential race. First of all, do you think Hillary Clinton will be the nominee? If not, who will it be? And should they win or lose, who is the person we need to watch out for who's in the wings that we don't even know who they are yet?
Well, I'm in a quandary on this one because I thought Elizabeth Warren was going to run, and I thought they would replace her, get rid of Hillary and replace her. I don't think Bernie Sanders can beat Hillary, to be quite honest. And Bernie Sanders is not a democratic socialist. He is a Marxist. He's not after Sweden. He's after Cuba. He's worked with the Communist Party USA right up till last year. He's a member of Democratic Socialists of America, a Marxist group. The one you have to watch out for, I believe, is Ulian Castro, who is currently the head of HUD. He was the mayor of San Antonio. He is the Latino Obama. He has been trained by Marxists just like Obama was. His mother was a radical Marxist back in San Antonio. He's worked with the Communist Party. He's worked with the radical groups. And he will be on the ticket. he will at least be on the VP ticket, probably under Hillary, and he may even top the ticket. So he is the one I would be watching for from out of left field, and I mean left field, way left field.
Yep, Julian Castro. I know exactly who you're talking about. All right, Trevor, I know you have another engagement for this evening, so I'll let you go, but thanks so very much for being on the show, and I'll be seeing you again tomorrow night.
Yeah, well, thanks, Chris. And if people want to get my books, if they just go to Pacific Freedom Foundation, Pacific as in the ocean,
yep,
Freedom as in what we all want, Foundation, and they can order my books online there or from my website, trevorlouden.com. But I appreciate the opportunity, Chris. It's been very good.
All right. Thank you very much. Very informative. And once again, he'll be speaking tomorrow night at the Eastmont Civic Center. The doors open at 6:30. The program begins at 7. It is free. You definitely want to get over there, and you can get the books there if you don't want to get them online. Anyway, Trevor Louden, tomorrow night, 6:30, Eastmont Civic Center. That's located just off Ronald Reagan Boulevard, just south of 436.
Good evening, I'm Mick Dolan from the Implant Solutions Today Traffic Center. If you're traveling southbound on the turnpike at 192, there's a crash with all lanes blocked and backups back to the Osceola Parkway. Eastbound I-4, you're on the brakes at 535 from the beach line to Sand Lake Road, and then heaviest traffic is South Orange Blossom Trail up to Maitland Boulevard, 434 to the bridge, too. Westbound, busy from Lake Mary to 434, then heavy Fairbanks to Cayley, and then Conroy to Sand Lake and 192 to the 417 are slow. That's answer traffic from the Implant Solutions Today Traffic Center.
All right, I hear that music. That must mean it is time for B. Brian Blair to be on our show again. B. Brian, thanks for being with us tonight.
So just so you know it's right, Chris. I am so excited to be with the American Adversary Show, just like so many times in the past. But things are heating up, my man, and I'm ready to talk about it right now.
All right, let's get right down to it. You know, let's talk some presidential politics. Donald Trump.
So I was ready to buy a Mercedes from Jerry's, and then I thought I'd talk to Bob Keeler about some real estate. So remind me to do that after I get off the phone with you.
All right, we'll do it. We'll do it. Thanks for mentioning Rob and Jerry. Appreciate that. They're out there listening right now. Brian, Donald Trump has been the hot hand lately. He is seems to have maybe stepped in it this weekend. I don't think so, but a lot of people think that he's done it now. First of all, what's your general impression of Trump, and has he finished himself?
Well, my impression is this. I think that Trump says what people think. I think that Trump sometimes says too many things that are a little politically accepted, but people are tired of all the BS. And let's go to what the real attack of the day is, and that's because he was insulted by Senator McCain when Senator McCain said that he had 15,000 crazies. Well, naturally, that lit him up. And you know the Donald.
Yep.
He doesn't like to be lit up. And when he's got, he'll stick up for those that are with him. He'll stick up for those that aren't with him if they're good, hardworking Americans. And he attacked him first about the crazies. Now, I don't agree about putting somebody in the box the way the news has. The mainstream news media has put him in a box about condemning all war heroes, and I don't think he's done that. He's made a statement about how much the illegal aliens are, their benefits are more than what our servicemen are getting paid. So there's a trade-off here, but it depends on the spin that you've listened to. Would I apologize is the big question of the day, would you say, Chris?
Yeah, it is, because that's what everybody's saying to Trump. Is he going to apologize? What would you do? Would you? He said he won't.
Personally, I would apologize not to John McCain, but I would apologize and be a statesman and say if I offended anybody that happened to have somebody that was a POW, which like Steve Kern and, you know, Pops Kern here in Tampa, Florida, my best friend's father, Colonel Pops Kern, spent 7.5 years at the Hanoi Hilton.
Wow.
He was the only There was two people that were shot down twice and were POWs. He was also a I'm talking about Colonel Kern was also a POW in the Korean War for 9 months. So, you know, it hits somebody who was on Trump's side and all of a sudden gets hit like that. It hit Steve in the wrong way.
It did.
And, you know, so I listen to real people and get what their feedback is. I can't stand the talking heads sometimes that are on that are in the newspaper and those that don't really spew the truth like you guys do at the American Adversary. You tell it like it is. And, you know, people have to listen and get both sides of the story. But let them dig deep. And if Trump does decide to apologize to the people that he may have offended, I think that's a feather in Donald's cap.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. The as you said, you don't like the fact that he is getting boxed in like this by the media, but nonetheless, you think it would be good if he did upset some people out there that he wasn't at all talking about, if they got sort of drug into this sort of thing. Is that what way I'm getting this right here?
Yeah, you're getting it right. Exactly, Chris. You got it. I mean, yeah. You know, when you get hit like that from somebody, I mean, all the politicians are scared. The people that are running professional politicians, the establishment politicians are afraid because this guy's making noise and he's grabbing hearts because he's honest. He's shooting from the hip. I mean, granted, you know, they're going to come out now. He supported a lot of Dems in the past and even given to Hillary in the past. But when you got that much money and somebody asks you something, I mean, there's a lot of things you do. He's, you know, they're going to bring out the bankruptcy stuff. Well, you know, when you got $9 billion and you're in several real estate transactions, that's what the law was created for. You know, let's look at all the thousands and thousands and thousands of people that he's employed.
Yeah.
Not to mention the real estate taxes that so many counties, states, and this nation have enjoyed.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And one thing you did say is, and that this is lost in the debate about him and McCain, is the reason he brought it up was because McCain had insulted him and his crowd there in Phoenix. So he was just giving him a little bit of payback. And, you know, McCain, actually, I saw him on MSNBC this morning. He seemed to be a little bit bemused by it all. I didn't see any anger in him. He was bemused by it. And well, matter of fact, he said he used the word crazy as a word of endearment. He says people call me crazy, so I just slinging around as a word of endearment, you know. But
honestly, I've never heard John McCain called crazy. I did vote for him like 49% of the people did at one time. But you got to figure 51% of the people voted against him.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think Donald knows what he's doing, and I noticed Frank runs by him quite often. Have you noticed that?
Yes. Matter of fact, I have, yeah. Listen, Brian, I got to take a break. It's a hard break, but stay with me, and I'll pick you up on the other side, okay?
Absolutely, Chris.
All right, we're talking with B. Brian Blair, and you are listening to
Diamond Dallas Page, the king of honor big, the master of the diamond cutter, a three-time world champion. And you're listening to the American Adversary Drive Time. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Bye.
All right, I got another champion on the line with me right there, right now. That, of course, would be B. Brian Blair, half of the Killer Bees Championship Pro Wrestling Tag Team. B. Brian, thanks again for being with us, and welcome back.
It's good to be here. You know, I just got back from Iowa. I got inducted into the Hall of Fame in Iowa and won the Luthez Award as well, so it was a great time. And it's just always great being on the American Adversary. You got some great listeners. It's always great topics. Got great sponsors, and you're a great person, Chris. So I'm just in heaven right now.
All right. Well, congratulations first and foremost on being inducted into the Hall of Fame in Oklahoma and winning the Luthez Award.
Iowa.
I'm sorry. And also, just a note for you folks out there, Brian's going to be a regular on our show. We're going to have him on at least once a month, maybe a couple times a month. So Brian and his expertise on politics and Florida politics in particular, we're going to take advantage of that, and he's going to be a regular. So I appreciate you being willing to do that, Brian.
I appreciate you having me on. You know, at least you got somebody on that's honest. I mean,
well, that's what we try to do.
Politically, people will tell you that, you know, and it gets me in trouble sometimes, just like it gets Trump in trouble. But that's what we need. We need people that will be honest and transparent.
Yeah.
And transparency is so important in anything that you do. So it's your show. I'll follow you, Chris.
All right. I want to go back to Trump and for a minute, because, you know, one of the things that we say around here, Brian, is, and I know we've talked about this with you, is that politics is a lot like professional wrestling. And in this particular case, I'm talking in the sense that you're working on a deep gut emotional level, so to speak, as people become endeared to the characters, whether it's in politics or in professional wrestling. And so it's important for Republicans to understand you can't always be on the intellectual level. You have to have some emotion involved in it. And I think that's part of the Don's appeal, too, don't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, no matter who wins, the most important thing at the end of this is, if we want to save America, every Republican and independent and soft Democrat, we all have to come together.
I'm sorry, Brian, you still there? Nick, did we drop him? Okay, I think we dropped B. Brian, but we'll get him back on the line. You are listening to the American Adversaries on AM 660 The Answer as we come to you live. Actually, we're on AM660TheAnswer.com right now, so thank you folks for listening in on your smart device and or your computer. And as soon as we get B. Brian back on the air, we'll take up the conversation with him about politics. Once again, though, Trevor Loudon will be speaking tomorrow night at the Eastmont Civic Center. That's up here in Altamont Springs. It's just off of Ronald Reagan Boulevard, just south of 436. So if you've never been there before, you go to take 436 to Ronald Reagan Boulevard on the east side of Altamont Springs. Go south about a half mile, and you'll see some baseball fields, some ball fields on the right, and that'll be Magnolia. You just turn right there, and then you'll see the clubhouse, and that's where the event will be tomorrow. The doors open at 6:30. Once again, it is free. I see we have Brian Blair back on the line with us. Brian, we dropped you in mid-sentence there. What were you saying?
I was saying that regardless of who
wins
the primary, the Republican primary, we all have to come together if we want to save America as we know America. I'm talking about soft Dems, independents, Republicans. I mean, we have to forget all the stuff that's getting ready to go on, because there's going to be a lot of browbeating, and there's going to be a lot of things that are said about all the candidates. And I know that Donald has really lit a fire, but I think it's a fire that needed to be lit. So let it go on. But at the end of the day, you've got to remember, don't let anything that's said or done keep you from going to the polls and voting, because you, me, and the people that go and vote are the people that still control America. We had 3 million Republicans sit on their butt last year. That's shameful.
Yeah.
Last election, excuse me.
Yeah, I know what you meant, but you're right. It is shameful. Let's talk Jeb Bush and Marco Rubio for a moment. Jeb was in Tallahassee today at a campaign event, talking a great deal about what he did as governor of Florida. Marco Rubio, of course, the senator from Florida here. Among those two, just those two, which one do you think is going to win Florida?
Well, it's a toss-up, obviously. To me, though, I would probably, even though Mark, he's a friend of mine and I love him, he's a great guy. He'd be a great vice president. I mean, he can be a great president. But the thing that tilts me towards Jeb is that he was a governor. A governor, it's like George Bush told myself and Ken Hagen, we were 44. We were sitting at the airport and had about 10 minutes with him, and he was talking about being a county commissioner, and you're in charge of balancing a budget, creating policies and procedures for the entire county. And that's what a governor does, all those things, where a senator creates rules and regulations that are much different than the governor. The governor has much more responsibility, in my opinion.
Having said that, you think Jeb would have the edge here in Florida? Should the race be just between those two? Obviously, there are a lot more involved, but just to, but if it were head-to-head between them, do you think that the power the brokers in Florida are favoring Jeb?
Yes, I would say that, just judging by the polls, the early polls, I would say so, Chris. Again, Marco, you know, he's younger, he's got a lot of enthusiasm, he's got a lot of brilliant ideas. And, you know, at the end of the day, I kind of wish that that people could be more real in politics and didn't have to wear that stiff suit. And Marco does a great job of being very loose, a little more so than Jeb does. I mean, Jeb's loosened up a little more this particular run, in my opinion. But it's close. It's one of those races that could be won or lost by, you know, a few thousand votes.
I see. Let me ask you what you think about Ted Cruz.
I think Ted Cruz is, if you like conservative Republicans, he, to me, is flawless. A guy that could go, he gets beat up so bad by the mainstream media.
Yeah.
Because he is like that. And let's say, God, I would love to put him a little bit, let's just say this, Ted Cruz would be in my top five, without a doubt.
Okay, so who would be your top five?
That's a great question, Chris. Right now, I would say, I have a little fondness of Mike Huckabee. He ran Arkansas very good. You've got, of course, our two Florida guys, Rubio and Bush, and you've got Trump, and then. The gentleman from Wisconsin,
Scott Walker,
he's got a lot of momentum. I mean, the guy's got he's done a lot of great things. We have so many great competitors. It's hard to have a top five, and I'm the one that said that. I boxed myself in by saying that, but
yeah.
There's a lot of other great potential presidents outside of that box.
Let me ask you this. Who do you think should be the Republican nominee for the Senate, that assuming Marco Rubio doesn't run for his seat? Do you have a favorite for the Senate seat?
I haven't gone there yet.
Okay. All right.
Do you?
Well, as far as the Republicans go, I would have loved to have seen Alan West run, but he moved to Texas. But I thought he would have been a great senator.
He would have. He would have been great. Absolutely great.
Yeah.
Alan's a great guy.
Yeah. And, of course, the Democrats, they got their own problem with the Senate race because Alan Grayson from over here is going to run. Does he have a statewide reputation? I mean, is he spoken about a lot over on the West Coast there?
Yes and no. I mean, he's not like headline news, nothing like Rubio.
Okay.
But most people that are into politics know Alan Grayson.
Okay. All right. I see. Finally, on the politics thing, I heard on the news today that Charlie Crist is considering running for one of the House seats that will be opened up by a fellow who's going to run for the Democratic Senate seat. Charlie Crist, as a member of the House, can you see that happening?
Well, I could see him getting in there, yes. I mean, he ran hard even after all the different things that he did. I mean, who are you, Charlie? I like Charlie. I've done speeches with Charlie. I've eaten with Charlie. We've had a good time. But Charlie just kind of disappointed me when he switched three times now. And I just wonder who Charlie is.
Yeah, indeed. Brian, what do you think will be the most important issue in next year's election? Of course, immigration, Donald Trump has made that a huge issue. Nation security is going to be a huge issue. Of course, we have these terrorist attacks, what are being called terrorist attacks. I call them acts of war, like what happened in Chattanooga.
Yes. I think that obviously... The the safety of the nation is always, that's what the president's number one role is, of course. But, you know, jobs in the economy and stopping the illegals from coming in here. There's so many great, great people that have come into this nation legally, and they're welcome here. All of us are have come in here in one form or another,
right?
Unless you're an American Indian, through the natural immigration process. And if they just followed the natural immigration process, we wouldn't have all these problems. Another thing you could go into, we could talk about later, is sanctuary cities or counties or whatever. That's totally wrong. But I think immigration, national security, and jobs in the economy are the top three, which pushes the Obamacare deal. I think right now, at least for right now, it's kind of buried. And that may be what they want. I don't know. You know, it's amazing how there are so many, I shouldn't say so many, there are so few very, very powerful people that are controlling this country. And just like Barack Obama, he has his handlers. Just like Jeb Bush, he has his handlers. That's what makes Trump an attractive candidate. He has no handlers. Whatever he does, it's going to be Donald Trump.
Have you ever had
We really need to analyze that as we move forward.
Have you ever had the occasion of meeting Donald Trump?
Actually, I have. In WrestleMania 4, I squirted blood on Ivana.
You did?
I hit the, if you look at the tape, I hit my chin on the railing post and squirted blood on some white pumps.
It was actually your real blood.
Of course it was real blood. I'm so beat up, man. I'm trying right now after four concussions and, five vertebrae that I just had worked on, and I need a back operation, and I need a hand operation, and I need a hip operation. I've already had two knee operations. I'm really, really, really banged up, and it takes everything that I can just to talk on your show and not have to mumble or stumble and grasp for words. It's just some, because I have such a passion for politics. If we were talking about something else, I might not be as halfway astute as I am right now. I'm very humble. I'm grateful to be on the show, and I'm grateful for your listeners for putting up with me. I'm banged up.
Well, you bring great insights to the show because of your experience, not only in the ring, and it is very tough business, and I mean that physically, as well as the business itself, but also, of course, your experience in politics and being a successful politician, being elected to the county commission in one of the biggest counties in the state, and saving that county $1 billion over a period of time. So you bring a lot to the equation. Let me ask you something about Hillary Clinton. I've been saying, you know, in her campaign, she keeps branding herself as the champion of the little guy, the champion of the little person. But that word champion keeps coming up over and over again. And it's my theory that the Clintons and the Obamas, too, they kind of understand the way I see politics being like professional wrestling, in the sense that if you can sell yourself, you can brand yourself as a certain person, and you can sell yourself to enough people, it doesn't matter what anybody else says about you. Those people who have bought into you, into your persona, are going to stick with you through thick and thin. Do you think that's what she's doing, knowing she has all this baggage like Benghazi and other things? If she sells herself as the champion, those things won't matter.
Absolutely. You hit the nail on the head. You lie, 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 and you brand yourself. I'm the champion. I'm the champion of little people. I'm the champion. I do this for those who have not. I will always help those who have not. But she also wants to do for those who will not. And that's the difference between the Republican and the Democrat philosophy. The Republican wants to give people a hand up and help those people that can help themselves. We don't want to keep people down in the in the ghetto, in the poor sections of town. We want to help them up because there's bright minds. There's leaders of the world. There's people in these poor towns that keep getting oppressed and oppressed by handouts and handouts, so they get lazy and apathetic and they don't want to do anything. And that is what is ruling the Democratic Party. And we have got to stop doing that. And I'm sorry for going on a tangent about it, but it makes me ill because I go to these places and I see what bright minds there are. I see what kind of people there are. Black, white, red, and yellow, it doesn't matter. I mean, they are there and they want somebody to just show them the way, and they will take that knowledge and make themselves a power. And we have got to convey that message, that that is what the Republican Party is about. And we have got to stop letting the Democratic Party tell those people that they can't. Here, have some more food stamps. Have some more money. We'll take care of your subsidized housing. You don't have to do anything. Just vote for us.
I tell you, that's the passion and the conviction that I would like to hear out of all the Republican candidates. We're hearing it out of Trump. We hear it out of Cruz. We hear it out of some of the others, but not like you just delivered it. And that's what we need. You're absolutely right about that, Brian. And I appreciate it. Never worry about going off on a tangent or a tirade here. That's what we do. And that's why you're going to be a regular on the show, my friend. That's why you are now a regular on the American Adversaries.
Yeah, I'm going to get myself in Jerry's Mercedes. I'll drive myself.
Be styling and profiling.
And I do real estate investing. So, Rob Keeler, I can't wait to talk to you and maybe get on that cruise, too. So, I mean, you got all kinds of great sponsors. That's amazing.
Yeah, I tell you, we're having a lot of fun, Brian. And next time, maybe you can come over here and be on the show. We'll take you to dinner again. We'll work on that. But I got to let you go. We're just about out of time for tonight. But we'll get with you, and we'll do this again here in a couple of weeks.
Thanks for having me, Chris. God bless you. God bless American Adversaries and all the listeners. And God bless America. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. You take care. We'll be in touch. That is B. Brian Blair, Killer B. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show, folks. If you are on the crazy train, you just stay with us. We'll get you off that thing. You are listening to the American Adversaries. It's going to be a short segment here. Just a reminder, if you have a computer, and I know you do because you're listening to me on that or that a smart device, take that thing over to Refresh Computers tomorrow. It's free tune-up Tuesday every Tuesday at Refresh Computers. Refresh Computers is located on 434 between 1792 and Ronald Reagan Boulevard. I tell you what, take your computer over there, get it refreshed, then take Ronald Reagan Boulevard down to Magnolia and catch Trevor Loudon tomorrow night at the Eastmont Civic Center. That's Refresh Computers, 407-478-8200, refreshcomputers.net. I've got a caller on the line, Robert, who wants to talk about another one of our great sponsors. Robert, thank you for being out there.
Christopher, thanks. I appreciate it. I forgot you were preempted by the Rays. Yeah. And I want to give you a little story about Ed Roxy.
Oh, okay. Well, I tell you what, give it to me now, but I want you to, if you will.
No. Listen. What I'll do is I'll call you tomorrow.
Okay. All right. But go ahead and tell me. On. Yeah.
He's a sweetheart, an absolute sweetheart. I called him this morning. I called him yesterday, actually.
Yeah.
And got a call back, and I ordered the big bottle for my sister who lives in Lake Worth, Florida.
Okay.
And he kept saying, okay, well, that's fine. Please go slow with the information because I'm old. I'm 75.
Yeah.
I'm saying, Ed, listen, I'm not far behind, so we'll get through this. And an absolute sweetheart. And I said, look, can we just put this on my MasterCard? He said, no, good Lord. He said, just send me a check. I said, can I send you a money order? Yeah, whatever. A check, money order, I don't care. I'll tell you what, Chris, if everyone, and if you want to replay this tomorrow or you want me to call back.
I do. I would like you to call back because it's better when it's live.
Yeah, and, I know. I understand.
But I know. Ed and Luann both are really great people.
And he said, you know, normally I have a secretary here that does this. And I told him, I said, I don't have a computer.
Okay.
And I do that. And he said, neither do I. I said, well, you're a good man, too. And he said, my secretary is out with the flu.
Oh.
And so I said, I'll say a prayer for her and hope she gets well.
Yeah.
But it was funny. It really was. And this guy, if he could have 1,000 orders a day of the order that I gave him, the world would be a better place.
I tell you,
that man is unbelievable.
He's unbelievable, and his product is the best stuff I've ever used
exactly.
on my skin.
I got a free bottle from you guys for about 6 months ago.
Yep.
And I didn't need it, so I gave it to a friend of mine who had a real serious problem with his. I'll get into that later. But
okay.
Yeah, serious problem with his leg.
Okay, but his stuff worked on it. I take it.
Absolutely, it worked.
Yeah.
Absolutely, it worked.
It is. It's I call it fertilizer for your skin, man. It just makes your skin grow healthily.
No, it
really does.
It was just the attitude of a businessman like him. The attitude was just phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. It almost made me cry.
Well, he like I say, he and Lou Ann are both great people. They're neighbors of Duncan Hunter, very distinguished congressman and veteran for our country.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so they're just all great people, and I just feel so privileged and so blessed.
Real quick. When I told him that I heard on American Adversary 660, he just went, oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's him. All right. Bless his heart. Well, listen, Robert, I'm all out of time, but if you'll stay on the line and give Nick your address, I will mail you a paper copy, since you don't have a computer, a copy of our latest intel brief, our latest newsletter. It's got coupons and stuff in it that you can use and some great information.
That'd be great.
All right. Thanks, and I'll talk to you again tomorrow. God bless you. All right, that's going to wrap it up for tonight, folks. And we will be back tomorrow with Robert, with Mike McBath, and our man Scott Miller is going to call us with some polling results of his own as he travels about the country. And he's up in Iowa now, I believe. Anyway, we'll find all about that tomorrow night. Don't forget Refresh Computers Free Tune-Up Tuesday. Don't forget Trevor Loudon, Eastmont Civic Center, 6:30. Be there or be square. I'll see you there. Night, everybody.
AM 660, The Answer, WORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando, a service of Salem Communications, intelligent, conservative, AM 660, The Answer.